Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. So happy you've taken the time to join us today. We once again have a jam-packed show, a half and halfer, half serious and half not so, but still with lots of tips and tools you can use to stay safe during any healthcare or hospital encounter. I'm going to do things a bit differently today and visit with our guest first, and then round things out with live callers and our Squeak Up and Stay Alive game. It's going to be a bit crazy, I'm sure, but always with the goal to share important information. So let's head in that direction, shall we? You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. Right now, I have two guests to talk about a disease that changed my life forever, colon cancer. When my 70-year-old father was diagnosed late in the game with a stage 4 diagnosis, it was my first encounter with the death of a loved one and an eye-opening journey into the world of cancer. Now, before some of you tune out and think, oh no, not me, hear this. Folks, if you have a colon, you are at risk for colon cancer. And it's not an old person's disease anymore. Colorectal cancer in young adults is on the rise, 90% for colon cancer and 124.2% for rectal cancer for people aged 20 to 34 years. So the under 50 crowd is the fast-growing demographic for new colon and rectal cancer cases. So our conversation today is especially important. And to help us with that, I'm happy to introduce Chris Ganser, a husband to an amazing wife and a father to an incredible son. He is now a two-time cancer survivor. This isn't the first health battle he's waged, but it has been the toughest. When he was 15 years old, he was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy. At 24, he was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. At 34, stage 3 colon cancer, and the colon cancer came back again at age 38. I am thrilled to have him join us, so welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Thank you. And our second guest is very important. We have Dr. Jamie Boll, a colon and rectal surgeon at Wake Forest School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She earned her bachelor's degree from Duke University and her medical degree from the University of Virginia School of Medicine. Dr. Boll completed her general surgical training at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, and her colon and rectal surgery fellowship at Lahey Clinic in Burlington, Massachusetts. Dr. Boll is passionate about educating the public about colon health and the importance of colon cancer screening. She is the event director for the Get Your Rear in Gear event in Winston-Salem. This event raises awareness and funds for the larger Winston-Salem community to support colon cancer screening and treatment. So what a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Boll.
Thank you.
Well, let's get started with you, Chris. Take us on a mini journey. When were you diagnosed and what was that like to hear this after your previous health issues?
Well, I was originally diagnosed in 2012 when I was 34 years old. After going through the previous health issues, to hear something else was almost like, all right, you know, oh joy, we get to add another thing to the list. But to hear that while I have a very extensive family history of cancer, it came as a surprise, but not as that massive shock and awe, you know, because I kind of expected it might happen, just not at that early of an age. So I went through my resection where they cut you down, went through 6 months of chemotherapy. I was able to pretty much fully recover from that. And then this past August, I was re-diagnosed with a localized reoccurrence, pretty much in the exact same spot. But this one was a little more invasive as far as things they had to remove, so to speak.
Now, you have a family history of cancer, but did you have a history of colon cancer?
Yes, and that's where knowing your family history definitely comes into play, because I had two great-grandfathers who passed away from colon cancer.
Now, you experienced several misdiagnoses and unnecessary tests because no one believed that such a young guy would have colon cancer. Let's talk about that for a moment. And Dr. Bull, if you want to jump in on this question, feel free to as well. I want to talk about misdiagnoses and unnecessary tests prior to a firm diagnosis.
Well, I actually was misdiagnosed numerous different times going through all of this. I mean, I'm a strength and conditioning coach, personal trainer. I was in really good shape. I had numerous different blood tests, a lot of them rather expensive. You know, time in the hospital that could have been much shorter, you know, if we would have been able to do the things that if somebody came in with my signs and symptoms that were about 50 years old would have done. So it is tricky for the doctors, too. I'll let Dr. Boyle answer that one. But, you know, when somebody comes in that kind of physical condition, it is kind of something they would not normally think of, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I saw a picture of you, and there's no way I'm going to think colon cancer when I see this very fit young man. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that, Dr. Bull?
Well, I think that there needs to be greater awareness among practitioners and physicians that this can happen in younger patients. Unfortunately, the only age group that colon cancer is increasing in this country is in patients less than 50 years old. And we're seeing patients in their 20s and 30s who are diagnosed with colon cancer. Unfortunately, those patients get diagnosed at more advanced stages because they don't have the same opportunity for prevention and screening that patients over the age of 50 have. And there's just this perception that patients that Chris's age are just too young to have cancer.
Why is it, though, that colon cancer is on the rise in young people?
Well, some of it is that they don't have the same benefit as screening. And so colon cancer rates are going down in patients over 50 because over the last 20 years, there's been better adoption of widespread colon cancer screening methods. But there's also increasing colon cancer in younger people because of the diets that we eat, because of the environment that we're in, and family history plays a significant role.
Before we get into talking about some of the symptoms, let's review some of the assumed diagnoses that many people receive before doctors discover their colorectal cancer, such as stress or gallbladder or colitis or food allergy. What are some of the things that maybe even our listeners might be diagnosed with where they should be thinking, hey, let me check out colon cancer?
Probably the biggest symptom or diagnoses that patients come to me with are hemorrhoids because they've seen some blood in their stool. And if a patient, even if a patient has a source of rectal bleeding on an anal exam, if they have other symptoms or warning signs, I would recommend colon screening in the form of a colonoscopy. I'd much rather blame a hemorrhoid knowing that the colon is empty of any kind of cancer than to assume it's hemorrhoidal bleeding and miss a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Chris, what were your symptoms that brought you to seek diagnosis?
What brought me in was I had a lot of abdominal pain. I did have bleeding as well. But it constantly got dismissed as maybe I had colitis, or, you know, I had massive amounts of prescriptions that, you know, for colitis or an infection that could possibly be there. So it was dismissed for the fact that, you know, I was having abdominal pain and they treated it as something that it really wasn't. The big thing that people kept, it's actually funny but not funny, I can laugh at it now. But due to the physical shape I was in at that time, a lot of people, doctors, nurses, all were originally accusing me of taking steroids. And that had to be related to steroids. And then, you know, I would tell them, every single one of them, test me for whatever you want, you know, but that's definitely not it.
Blame the patient, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe share then some of the other main symptoms that folks should be aware of.
Well, unfortunately, most patients with early colon cancer have no symptoms. It's really the lucky few, so to, if you want to say it that way, that have symptoms that are warning signs, like bleeding, like decreased caliber of stool, like unusual abdominal pain like Chris is describing. Not until later stages of colon cancer develop that patients start to get weight loss and other worrisome symptoms.
The warning to our listeners is to pay attention and get screening. So let's talk a little bit about screening tests. Why don't more people get screened?
Well, I think that there are misconceptions about screening. One, a lot of people are fearful of a colonoscopy or have heard of a negative experience. People hear bad things about the intestinal prep, which is really the worst part of a colonoscopy screening. And people just don't know when they should start getting screened and what options are available in addition to colonoscopy if the patient doesn't wish to have a colonoscopy done.
What are the newer tests that people can do at home? I've heard and read about Cologuard, the no-prep at-home DNA test. Is that as effective?
Yes, there's Cologuard, which is the DNA test, and the other one is testing the stool for blood. The old test, the GLIAC test, was not as sensitive and specific. It tested for any type or source of blood in the stool, but the newer tests don't need dietary restrictions. You don't have to stay away from certain things before doing that test. It can be done at home, and it's one time a year. It's called the FIT test. It's much more sensitive and specific than the old hemoculture GLIAC tests that we had.
Okay, so is that Cologuard still a valid test?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It is. If a patient has a positive test in their stool, then the recommendation would be to proceed on for colonoscopy. If it's negative, then the recommendation is to repeat the study in 1 year. So it would be up to the patient and their physician to figure out a screening plan that suits the patient and gets the job done.
Does a person need a prescription for that?
No, but the patient needs materials in order to do that, mm-hmm. and so the physician needs to arrange for that. Either the primary care doctor can refer to a gastroenterologist, or some primary care doctors perform that testing in their office.
Okay. Now, my dad passed away, as I mentioned, with stage 4 colon cancer about 25 years ago, and I'm hopeful that there have been treatment strides since then. Can you share what are some of the ways that colorectal cancer is treated today?
Sure. So widespread colon cancer screening with colonoscopy didn't start happening until the mid-90s. And so that has really allowed us to diagnose colon cancer at earlier stages. Also, there have been new chemotherapy agents that came into effect in the early 2000s that for more advanced stages of colon cancer, that decreases your chances of having recurrence once you have surgery and the tumor is removed.
Okay. And Chris, as far as you go, how is your health now and what are you doing to maintain a good state of health?
Well, since my first go around, I'm definitely making sure that I'm still staying as physically active as I can, having a proper diet, constantly getting screening. The second go around obviously pushed a few things to restart over again as far as trying to get my energy levels back up and my health condition back up. But, you know, it's just all a matter of listening to your doctor, making sure you stay on a very healthy plan. I mean, as far as your diet goes, as far as activity levels go, I don't want to say I'm blessed, but I am blessed to have the care that I do because I get, you know, CT scans and PET scans typically once a year for both. So every 6 months I get scans, and then every year and a half I get a colonoscopy, you know. So that was the main reason why we were able to catch the second go around so early.
Okay, so screening is so important.
Yes. Oh, very much so.
Right. How has then your whole entire health journey affected how you choose to live your life day to day? What are you doing to stay positive and to have a healthy, happy life?
I make sure to do just that. I have a 16-year-old son who got to watch all of this, you know, 4 years ago and is watching all of it again, you know, currently. So I want to stay positive. I have to stay positive is how I view it. I want him to understand that there's always a blessing, even though you might have a negative transpire take place. I'm a big advocate for cancer research, colon cancer awareness. You know, I make sure I get more involved with it, and that helps me mentally. I don't want to say from a selfish standpoint, but it really helps me mentally. And physically, I mean, I love working out. I love staying physically active. You know, diet, you know, yes, I love ice cream, but at the same time, you know, I want to make sure that I'm eating the proper meals that I'm supposed to and doing what I truly need to do to live as long as I can.
Right, right. That's a good answer. And you also work with organizations to promote colon cancer awareness. Is that correct?
With numerous organizations.
Do you want to name them?
Colon Cancer Alliance is one of them, CCA. And for those of you that would be interested in learning more, a little bit more about them and the big colon tour that we have this weekend that Dr. Bowles is putting on, is go to #BigColonTour, and you can see some pictures and things that go on with that. Fight Colorectal Cancer is another organization that I'm involved with. They do a lot of things that involve going out to Washington, D.C., speaking with members of Congress, to kind of remove barriers as far as colorectal screening goes, to increase funding for colorectal research and programs. It's actually an amazing event that anybody can go to and attend. I've gone twice now, and I'll tell you, meeting with members of Congress is definitely something that's a huge, emotional, unbelievable high, so to speak, that you get with doing that. The Colon Club is another one. They do a annual magazine that features young colorectal cancer patients to let everybody know that it can happen to anybody. You know, you don't have to be somebody who's extremely overweight or above the age of 50. You know, it can truly happen to anybody. And, you know, I try to do things when I can for another organization called Stupid Cancer. You know, they do a lot of stuff all over the U.S. And then I do a lot of things in North Carolina with the state as well.
Wow, bless you for all of that. You're really helping others. And Dr. Bowl, you're the event director for Get Your Rear in Gear.
Correct. It is a 1 mile walk of hope, the Roger Fowler Walk of Hope, and a 5K run walk event. It's a family event that we host to increase colon cancer awareness and screening rates in our community. All of the money that we raise comes back to our community in the form of grants to support the colon cancer awareness efforts that we have.
Thank you for that. Now, either one of you, is there a resource for more information that you would like to share?
Sure. They patients or listeners can go to the #BigColonTour and get information about the event this week. If they want information about what colon cancer is and risk factors as well as treatments, they can go to cancer.org. That is the American Cancer Society website and provides a lot of healthy living tips for people who are looking to decrease their risk for colon cancer.
All right. Now, is there anything else that either of you would like to talk about that we've missed? Do any final words of advice from either of you?
Yeah, like Dr. said, listen to your body. Don't listen to the negative stigma of screening. I mean, the worst portion of it is the bowel prep. Other than that, it's downhill. You get to take a great nap and wake up with cookies and a drink.
And how about you, Dr. Bowl? Any final words of advice?
Listen to your body, know your family history, know your personal risk, and change that risk through screening.
There you go. Well, I would like to thank both of you separately. Dr. Bowl, thank you for your work and your dedication to this disease. I appreciate your taking the time out of your busy schedule to help enlighten our audience. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Chris, your story is so fitting for this program in particular because of the way you are approaching your health journey, because it's all about being your own health advocate, and I appreciate that. And I'm proud of you and for all that you're doing to help others, and I wish you and your family the very best. Thanks so much for sharing you with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and today we are holding our first ever Speak Up and Stay Alive call out. What is that? Well, if you've listened to the show recently, you've heard us playing our newest game, Squeak Up and Stay Alive. One day, I innocently mentioned that the squeaky wheel gets the grease and how we can take that saying and apply it to any healthcare or hospital visit. So if you don't know why a doctor orders a particular test, get squeaky. Ask questions. Or if you don't understand the name of your diagnosis or why you're taking a particular medication, get squeaky. Ask questions. In other words, if you make some noise, ask questions, demand answers, and get squeaky, your healthcare outcomes will improve. So in typical Speak Up and Stay Alive style, the boys around here took that as a signal to play another crazy game. So now we have an abundance of squeaky dog toys around here, and especially ice cream cone-shaped squeaky dog toys. We sent out thousands of emails to those of you who asked to be on our twice-a-month mailing list. Our email asked those who wanted to play the game with us on the radio to respond, and today we have them on the line with us, ready and oh so excited to play everyone's favorite radio game, Squeak Up and Stay Alive. So, Jeremy, the busiest radio producer of all time, who is our first caller?
All right, Pat, first up is Elizabeth Rankin, and here she is to play our game.
All right. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where do you live, Elizabeth?
I live in Chatham, Ontario, in Canada, and we're about 45 miles west of Detroit.
Oh, wow. So you're calling from across the border, I'd say.
Yes, I am.
So tell me, what do you do, Elizabeth?
I had a career in nursing and other kinds of related careers, and then I'm writing a book because of what happened to me, and I had a heart attack about almost 10 years ago, so I wanted to write a book about that because your topic or your radio station is Speak Up and Stay Alive, and I felt that that's exactly what happened to me.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you're writing a book, and keep us posted on that, and once it's published, we'll let our folks know. All right, we've got our Squeak Up and Stay Alive game. We've got three choices for you to answer questions from the healthcare-acquired infections, or do you want the grab bag or multiple choice?
No, I'll take the health infections.
All right. Let's give you a true or false. True or false, Elizabeth. The use of gloves is an effective substitute for hand washing.
I would not say so.
That's right. You got it right.
Yeah.
Right. There is no effective substitute for proper hand washing. I'm sure you'll probably address some of that in your upcoming book.
Well, actually, I do.
Well, good.
Yeah, I do. Actually, do you want the title of my book?
What is the title?
Okay. It's called The Patient Will Now See You, How Listening to the Patient Will Redefine the Patient-Doctor Relationship.
All righty. We will keep note of that. You and I will keep in touch, and we will let our listeners know about that as soon as it's published. Thank you for calling today,
okay,
Elizabeth.
Thanks, Pat. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Pat. Next one up is Casey Quinlan, and she is ready to play our wonderful game, Squeak Up or Stay Alive.
All right. Hello, Casey. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Good. Where are you calling from?
I am in New York right now at the ePharma Summit.
Okay. And you are in healthcare, aren't you?
Well, I am. I wear an official patient hat, but I also produce a podcast for the Society of Hospital Medicine. So I have a foot in both the clinician and the patient camp.
So you're seeing all sides. That's a great position to be in, I think.
You bet.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
You betcha.
All right. Three categories. We have healthcare-acquired infections, the grab bag, or multiple choice.
Oh, I've always liked surprises, so let's go for the grab bag.
Okay. Let's see. We're going to give you a rough one, I think, since you know all sides of it. Here we go. The Squeak Up and Stay Alive grab bag. Name one way to avoid a wrong site surgery.
Oh, one way to avoid a wrong site surgery. What I would do is that before they knocked me out, I would, with the doctor and everyone else in the room, get a big old black Sharpie and draw a circle or an X around the exact place where they are supposed to be cutting.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know what you're talking about. Since we have you on the phone, we're going to ask you another one since you like the grab
sure.
bag. All righty. True or false? Elevating the head of the bed 30 degrees prevents reflux and aspiration of bacteria from the stomach and also decreases the risk of ventilator-associated pneumonia.
You betcha. 30 degrees, stay alive.
Yes. The patient's on a ventilator. Make sure the head of the bed is elevated, that the nurses brush the patient's teeth and rinse their mouth to deter bacteria,
yes.
and check their ability to breathe every day. Kind of take them off the ventilator each day to make sure that they might be able to breathe on their own. Is that what you know?
That is exactly. And I actually went through that with someone recently.
Good. So that's good advice.
Yes.
Thank you for speaking with us today and playing Squeak Up and Stay Alive.
It was a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Casey.
Okay.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Next up is Gail Empt, and she is ready to play with us.
Hello, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, Gail, tell us, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Vienna, Virginia at Kinergy Health.
Kinergy Health. What do you do at Kinergy Health?
Kinergy Health, what we do is help with care transitions and keep the patient engaged and at the center of the transition. So with luck, they don't have to go back to the hospital.
All right, Gail, are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
Absolutely.
All right, we've got three categories: healthcare acquired infections, the grab bag, or multiple choice.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm going to have to play it safe and go for multiple choice.
Okay, you are safe because these are crazy. All righty. Here we go. Gail, if you have an operation or a procedure, it's a good idea to ask one of the following people to go with you to be your advocate. Is it A, your doctor, B, your insurance agent, C, Dr. Oz, or D, a family member or a close friend?
Well, I wish it was my doctor, but he's always way too busy. So it ends up being a family member.
You got the correct answer. I agree with that. You want to do another one?
Sure.
Since you're so good at this. All righty. You have certain rights when you receive health care, Gail. Which of the following is not a right? A, you have the right to be informed about the care you receive. B, you have the right to a gourmet meal. C, you have the right to safe care. Or D, you have the right to have your pain treated. Which one is not a right?
Which one is not a right, but a dear, dear wish? I'm not sure I have the right to a gourmet meal.
You're right. Unfortunately, we don't have the right to a gourmet meal, but we do have patient rights and responsibilities, right?
Absolutely. And the better informed a patient is and the family advocate is, the better care you're going to receive.
Right. Both of your questions kind of tie together. You have the right to bring an advocate and you have the right to have questions and know what your rights are. Gail, thank you for being a guest on our show today at the Squeak Up and Stay Alive Marathon.
Absolutely. I loved it. Thank you so much. I love your show.
Let's keep in touch, Gail.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got another one here. We have Elizabeth Bailey is our next little guest squeaker.
Uh-oh. All right. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me on as a contestant.
You are welcome. So exciting around here. Elizabeth, where are you calling from?
I am calling from New York City.
What do you do in New York City?
I am actually a patient advocate.
Well, are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
I am.
All right. Three categories: healthcare acquired infections, the grab bag, or multiple choice.
I might pick healthcare acquired infections.
All righty. Here we go. The Squeak Up and Stay Alive healthcare acquired infections question. Name two factors that can lead to a healthcare or hospital acquired infection.
I would say not washing your hands. And unsanitary medical instruments.
Yes.
Really good.
That was
not
a good
one. Not many people say that one.
That's right.
Well, you know, I have to say I was having surgery a while ago for my ear, and right before I was about to go under the anesthesia, I heard my ear surgeon say to his assistant, "No, not those instruments. They haven't been sterilized."
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, "Wait, yes, don't use those." And then I was out.
Do you, so, you know, we're laughing, but...
I know, it's funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that should be a question? I mean, that should be an obvious...
When's the last time your instruments were cleaned?
Should we really be asking that?
Yeah, we should, actually.
Yeah.
Statistically, you'd be amazed at how often that's a problem.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll add that to our list, folks. Now we have to ask and make sure the instruments are clean.
You can always ask in a joking way, but honestly, having lived through it and lived to tell the tale, because they obviously caught it, it's one more thing to think about.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad to have you as a guest on our show. Wake up and stay alive.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
It was great. Bye-bye.
All right, our next squeaker is the first male squeaker. Joining us now is Daryl Hicks.
Daryl Hicks is my favorite. He's my favorite
Hello,
squeaker.
Pat.
Hey, Daryl, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Oh, it's always good to have you. Are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
Yeah, this is a first.
It is a first.
Believe me, it is, Daryl.
Bob shakes his head. Hey, we got to mix things up here. We could be so...
I never thought I'd be holding a dog toy.
I don't want my dog to hear that.
There you go. Well, every dog in town will be at the radio station. All right, we have three categories, Daryl. We have healthcare-acquired infections, the grab bag, or multiple choice.
Let's go with the surprise grab bag.
Oh, okay. All right, the grab bag. All right, Daryl, why is it important to tell your healthcare provider and pharmacist about all the prescription medications, supplements, alternative remedies, and all the over-the-counter medicines that you take?
Well, I learned that prior to surgery and since surgery, every time that you take something or entertain the thought of taking something, then it's best to check with your doctor or your healthcare nurse, because things do interact. And for instance, I'm on warfarin, which is a blood thinner, like Coumadin. Painkillers affect that. Some over-the-counter sort of things affect it. In order to get the best outcomes, then I think your doctor needs to be involved. And I think pharmacists are another great resource for either asking the questions, or if you give them all the information of everything that you're taking, then it improves your chances of the best outcome. So always share those things, even if you think it's something benign. I take echinacea this time of year to try to keep a healthy immune system, and I was told that 2 weeks before surgery not to take that because doctors don't know what effect that may have on things. So after surgery, I was free to start taking it again. But something I thought was fairly benign could turn out to be a problem.
Good answer, Daryl. That's a good answer.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have thought about something as seemingly innocuous as echinacea. But I guess it is very important to let your healthcare providers know everything you're taking.
Yeah, I think that improves your chances of the best outcome. So don't be afraid to share everything with them.
Well, thank you for that sage advice, which you always have. And that's why we love having you as our resident infection preventionist on the show. Thank you, Daryl, for being
on
the
Pat.
Show. Let's talk again soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, take
care.
Bye. This is excellent advice. Folks, if you're just finding us, you are listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and today we are holding our first ever Squeak Up and Stay Alive call out. The point of this game is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So feel free to speak up or squeak up at every doctor visit or hospital visit. That's the best and only way to get the attention and service you deserve.
All right, next up is Kathy Kastner, and she is ready to go.
Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the show.
Hello there. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada.
Oh, our second Canadian today.
It's so great. Great. We're taking over the world.
You guys are. Tell
got
us
that question right.
She did get that right. Kathy, tell us, what do you do in Toronto, Ontario?
Toronto. I head up a website called Best Endings, and the endings that we're talking about are the big end, the eventual end that is going to greet us all, and it's been fascinating learning about health decisions and the implications of making those decisions. So I'm having more fun than I've ever had.
That's amazing, Yelly. Yeah.
Although I do know how I want to die, and that is with tequila swabbed on my lips.
You're our kind of gal. Jeremy's shaking his head.
Loving it.
All right. Well, with that in mind, are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
I totally am, although I have to tell you, I might have to give a cat call.
Oh?
As my answer, yes, I do a great cat call.
All right, well, we want to hear that. All right.
I'm ready.
All right, good. We've got healthcare-acquired infections. We have the grab bag or multiple choice. Which do you want?
I'm going to go for multiple choice.
All right, let's see what we have here. Alrighty, multiple choice. A patient who is bedridden, uses a wheelchair, or is unable to change position is at a risk for A, lots of quiet rest, B, not having to do housework, C, unwanted visitors, or D, a pressure sore or bed sore.
Oh, D, I've got to go with D.
Yeah. Did we hear the cat call?
I love it, Kathy. I love it.
We'll have to have like a cat call and stay alive, right?
Oh, I love that. For a second, I looked up. I was like, is there a cat in the studio? Wait a second.
Maybe because we have squeaky dog toys.
That worked out.
I like it.
That
I
cat's
mean,
chasing
I,
the dog.
I do a pigeon and a chicken, but I figured that the cat was really the one to do right now. So did you get the answer right?
Well, yes, you did. Well, since you have a pigeon and a chicken left, okay, we're going to give you another question because we need to go there. We have time for this. This is too crazy. All right, another multiple choice?
Sure, you
all right.
Bet.
An advance directive is a document that gives direction in advance about your future medical or surgical treatments. Which one is not an advance directive? Is it A, a living will? B, the recipe to your secret pasta sauce that always makes you feel good? C, a healthcare power of attorney? Or D, a do not resuscitate?
Which one isn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to go with B.
Yes, the secret pasta sauce. All right. Now we all.
Do you want the chicken?
We want the chicken. Yep, chicken.
Although, you know, I was thinking that a secret pasta sauce that made you feel good might well be put in your advance directive.
I know.
I'm going to steal Pat's because she's full Italian.
Okay.
You can't.
Right. I'm with you there. Put me down as the last supper with Pat.
That's
you
right.
You got it.
You can't expect an Italian not to have that secret pasta sauce. All right, before you go, though, you have to do the pigeon.
The pigeon is... Oh, oh. It's actually more a turtle dove than a pigeon. You know, it has to, because pigeons are not nice. They don't have a nice reputation, whereas turtle doves... You know, you sort of feel warm and happy with turtle doves.
Loving it.
I've not been able to do my barnyard sounds for such a long time. I feel a new life coming to them.
Yeah, we're going to have to incorporate this into some kind of patient safety.
I certainly know with diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, often singing and making noises are great ways to keep the voice going.
Oh.
Sounds crazy, but these are the things that I'm learning on my end-of-life journey.
That's awesome. Let's talk about this sometime, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much for having me and your spooks on the show.
You are
fun. Until next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, that one was too good. I love it. All right. All right, we got another one. Here we go. This one is Harry or Hera Christ. Oh, I think I'm messing up her name.
Hari?
Hari,
yeah,
correct.
I'm here.
Hey,
there
Hari.
She is. Sorry about that, Hari.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great.
All right. Harry, he's got me calling you Harry. Stop that.
That is my fault.
Jeez.
Tell him he's got a timeout now.
We do have to timeout. Timeout, everyone squeak. All right.
Yay!
Refresh our brains. All right. Hari, where are you calling from?
I'm sitting in the parking lot of Mass General Hospital in Massachusetts.
Oh, my. Hope not as a patient.
Oh, gosh. No. Just visiting someone there.
All right. And what do you do, Hari?
I am a patient advocate, and I'm also a nurse practitioner, and I have a business called Healthcare Whisperer, where I help people navigate the healthcare system. Anything you need that you get stuck on in the healthcare system, call me.
Call
a patient advocate.
All right. Are you ready to play Squeak Up and Stay Alive?
Okay. I'm going to try my best.
All right. Don't worry. Nobody's gotten a wrong answer yet. Not too much pressure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Pat. Thanks. There we go.
Not too much pressure. Yeah. All right. Three categories: healthcare acquired infections, the grab bag, or multiple choice.
Let's do grab bag.
All right, grab bag is good. All righty, true or false? As long as a food handler is wearing gloves, you are safe from any type of cross contamination.
No.
And why not?
Cough.
That's right. We don't know where those gloves have been, do we?
No. And they could have worn them in anywhere, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not just a food handler, but a healthcare provider, too.
Yeah, we see that all the time, as you know. We see that all the time.
So.
And that's a big problem. Okay.
What would you suggest? You know, if somebody is in a doctor's office, for example, they're feeling fine, going in for a well checkup, doctor walks in with the gloved hands and says hello and shakes hands. What would you say something?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been with clients, and they say, wait a minute, no. I'm not going to shake your hand. Mm-hmm. I tell people, if you don't feel comfortable and you see that's happening, ask them to take their gloves off and wash their hands. I that's totally appropriate.
All right.
Because they should know to do that. And, you know, you do it nicely. You know, you don't say, hey, you, take your gloves off. You know, look, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know where your gloves have been, you know. And I think that the more people do that, the safer we are.
Absolutely. If we start demanding it, then people will just do it as routine. That's correct. You ready for another one since you're so good at this?
Yeah.
Okay. Stick with the grab bag.
Sure. Why not?
All righty. Let's see. True or false? Older people have a greater risk for drug interactions.
That's actually true.
Yes, it is true. Tell us about it.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Their systems, like for the kidneys, aren't functioning as well. The livers might not be functioning as well. And so sometimes they need less of the drug, and the doctor doesn't do that. They don't look at what people are taking, and their metabolism is slower. So it can cause a lot of problems. And it also, I find, and I'm just dealing with this today, that especially with anesthesia, it can really cause cognitive changes, which get misinterpreted as dementia. That becomes a problem. So there's a lot of potential for problems in the elderly, and you have to be very vigilant.
That happened with my mom. They had her on so many drugs that eventually they came up to me and said, your mom's now showing signs of early dementia. I said, I don't think so. Let's look at what drugs we're taking here.
Yeah, no, and thank goodness she had you. I mean, because a lot of people end up in Alzheimer's units when they actually don't, they really don't have a firm diagnosis. So it's really important for your listeners to know that it's good to ask questions. Well, what drugs is my parent on or my loved one on, and to figure out what might be going on there.
Well, thank you for your advice. I appreciate your being on our show today, and we look forward to having you back as a guest to share some more information with us.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks to the squeakies.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, guys, I think this concludes our first Squeak Up and Stay Alive marathon. What does everyone think? Should we do more of these?
Oh, we got to do more.
Oh, after the cat call, definitely.
Meow. I'm trying, but I am nowhere near her.
She's awesome. Well, folks, we'll do just about anything to help you learn all of the tips and tools you need to keep you safe during any healthcare or hospital encounter. Well, guys, let's give everyone a round of squeaks to thank them for taking part in our Squeak Up and Stay Alive first ever call out. And stay in your seats, folks. We're not done yet. Coming up, More of what you've come to expect from America's favorite healthcare and hospital radio show, Speak Up and Stay Alive. Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio is proud to introduce our most recent sponsor, Zora Village Golf Course. Find out more at speakupandstayalive.com.
For years now, a lot of you have been driving down I-77 to play at Zora Village Golf Course. Thank you for the 40 years of support. And if you haven't been here, we'd like to invite you to come see why we've been called a must-play course for Northeast Ohio golfers. Superintendent Eric Crone's greens are always stellar, too. The pro shop is stocked and the snack bar features great food. Check us out at zoravillagegolf.com.
After a hospital stay or other health issue, rehabilitation and therapy, physical, occupational, or speech therapy are imperative if you want to regain your strength and previous abilities. When it's haphazard or non-existent, you lose. And that's why your rehabilitation care choice is crucial. Let's spend the next 2 minutes with Lauren Teschner from the Welsh Home in Rocky River to gain a better understanding. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Why, tell us why, is daily therapy so important, and what does the Welsh Home do to accommodate maximum recovery?
The majority of the people, when they come for a short-term rehabilitation stay, on day one when we set the goals, their main goal is to, one, go home. And the way that we accomplish that is by the therapy department. The therapy department was once explained to me by a resident who had a complete success story and returned home as they use a gentle but firm touch. So even when she was too tired that day, they were gentle and sympathetic that, you know, she is going through a healing process, but firm in their approach that if you want to get home and you want to accomplish this goal, this is what we need to do. We have therapy at the Welsh Home 7 days a week. The reason we offer it 7 days a week is that we want to make sure that people are using the maximum of what their insurance benefit will allow for. Most of the time, the traditional insurances will say that people can receive 5 days a week of therapy. The reason we have it those 7 days a week is to accommodate people who come to us on the weekend or people who maybe they really need to take a day off of the therapy and restart it the next day so that they can continue to receive the maximum that their insurance benefit will allow for.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lauren.
You're welcome.
The Welsh Home offers state-of-the-art skilled rehabilitation therapy on-site to meet your individual needs. Whether you're looking for short-term or long-term care, the Welsh Home can help. And you don't have to be Welsh to call the Welsh Home your home. Call them to arrange for a tour or simply to ask questions. 440-331-0420. 440-331-0420. Or visit welshhome.com. Well, how was that for a fun show today? It's always nice to connect with our listeners. And speaking of connecting, if you'd like to attend our next live presentation, you're welcome to come. It's on Wednesday, May the 4th, at 1:30 at the Concord Senior Center in Painesville. Wednesday, May 4th, at 1:30 at the Concord Senior Center in Painesville. The address is 7671 Auburn Road in Painesville, just off of Route 44. So I really hope you can make it. And meantime, head over to the website, speakupandstayalive.com, and get a copy of the book that is changing and saving lives, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Hospital Survival Guide. It's only $20, and proceeds fund our pillowcase project, where we send handmade, one-of-a-kind pillowcases to homeless veteran shelters, and to women and children's domestic violence homes. Just visit the shop page at speakupandstayalive.com or call and order by phone. Leave a message on the studio line and we will call you back to place your order. It's 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462. All right, we are out of time. But somehow we're never out of things to talk about, are we? So be sure to come back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from squeaky dog toys. Don't worry, no one's around to squeak anymore. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Make a splash with a season pass that screams fun. Pioneer Waterland and Drive Fun Park in Chardon, Ohio has discounted season passes. Buy now and save. Family pass for four, $195. Additional family member and individual passes discounted too. That includes a free parking pass for the entire season. Order your season passes today at pioneerwaterland.com or by phone 440-285-5200. That's 440-285-5200. Speak Up and Stay Alive. Five simple words that address a complex problem, and that is your safety when it comes to every healthcare or hospital encounter, or the safety of your family and friends. These words need to be in your mind and on your lips. And to help with that, I wrote the book Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Hospital Survival Guide, on the recommended reading list of the U.S. Army's Medical Department Office of Quality Management. And it should be on your reading list too. Get a copy for yourself. Give some away as important gifts. Bring the book to the hospital with you. Lay it on the tray table. Now, without saying a word, everyone knows that you are an e-patient, equipped, and eager to get out unharmed. You can purchase online for only $19.95 at the website speakupandstayalive.com or call me and order by phone 440-725-5462. That's speakupandstayalive.com or 440-725-5462. Speak Up and Stay Alive. The book tells you how, and I hope you do.